The following CannabisRadio.com program contains explicit language and content that can be considered graphic and offensive. This program is not suitable for all audiences, and the opinions expressed do not reflect those of CannabisRadio.com, its staff, management, or sponsors. Listener discretion is advised.
Cool.
Stoner. You can put your weed in there.
Stoner. Jesus.
Oh, check this out.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful. A lot of people don't realize this, but you can put your weed in there.
This is the Stoner Jesus Show on CannabisRadio.com.
It's my Greg, you're a poontang, if I can use a medical term.
Man, oh man.
You're gay. There's no fashion in the church.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. Don't try to debate me on something. Motherfucker, I can't do many things well, but words are my shit. Yeah. Yeah, Stern DJ Show. Chapter 2, verse 7, hour 2. Welcome, everyone. If you missed hour 1, we did a lot of shit. A lot of great shit. Go to sternjesus.net and find it. It'll be chapter 2, verse 7, hour 1. Again, this is hour 2. If you want to see video of hour 2, the only way to do that is become a patron at patreon.com/stonerjesus420. A lot of stuff in this hour. Marijuana story from Colbert. Also, the guy in Dallas who was killed by a cop in his own apartment. More on Mac Miller's death. The tale of OJ. And more. All here. On the Stoner Jesus Show. All information on the show, stonerjesus.net. Email the show at stonerjesus420@gmail.com. If you're on Facebook, you're a fan of the show, check out Disciples of Stoner Jesus, the group. Search Disciples of Stoner Jesus on Facebook. Without further ado, this first segment is a story from a late show with Colbert. Make sure I find the right video. There we go. Fuck it up. Colbert talks about a marijuana story out of Canada.
But if you're feeling down, here's an inspirational story from our friends north of the border. It all went down at a pot dispensary in Ontario, where four masked men entered brandishing canisters of bear spray. That's how Canadian this story is. The robbers thought there was a chance the store was being run by a bear. But the brave employee fought back using the closest weapon at hand, a bong. And yes, yes, there is footage.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Bravo! Bravo!
He's gonna bong like a baseball bat, bitch.
Though, really, there is a much easier way to knock someone out with a bong. Use it. But sadly, the story ends in tragedy for the bong.
Oh.
No!
Broke it.
No, that bong had 2 days to retirement. Yeah, Helen's waiting for me up at the lake house. She's been so patient. That woman's a saint. The grandkids are already there waiting to play with their grand bong. Somebody's at the door, I'll get it. In other pot news... Yeah,
squeezing a lot of jokes out of that bong.
Yes. Other pot news. Recent study found that increasing numbers of older adults are using marijuana. Yeah.
There you go.
Police responded to the findings by arresting some black teenagers. Well, a joke's based on a true story. Well, at least old people are now going to smell weird for a cool reason. Another upside is that this means the return of hilarious old-timey pot slang. Hey, Jackson, let's get zooted on some Primo tea. Grab some jazz cigarettes, and while we're in Reefer Town, I'll put Cole Porter on the Victrola. 23 Skidooby.
Ooh, there's more to that, but there's another minute, but I can't take any more. That's too much. It's too much. Just wanted to hear the marijuana bear story. Seem like too much to ask. Anyway, may have seen the story about the guy killed in Dallas. Police officer apparently walked into his apartment and shot him. They talk about it all here on in this story. This is from Inside Edition.
Funeral services today for the Dallas man who was shot and killed in his own apartment by an off-duty cop. She claims she mistook his apartment for hers. But the attorney for the dead man's family is highly skeptical about that and says a look inside his apartment supports their view. Jim Murray has your first look inside.
It's an exclusive look inside the apartment where a Dallas man was tragically shot to death by a cop who mistook the apartment for her own.
We're taking you inside the apartment for the first time since the deadly shooting, looking for clues as to why Botham Jean was shot and killed by an off-duty police officer inside his own unit.
It's a typical bachelor's apartment, the leather sofa piled high with clothes, a bowl of cereal on the ottoman, and a flip-flop nearby.
Let the spirit of the Lord and let it ride.
26-year-old Botham Jean was a devout Christian. Off-duty Dallas police officer Amber Geiger says she thought she was entering her own apartment on the third floor. But in fact, she was on the fourth floor. Lee Merritt, the attorney for the victim's family, says the hallways are the same, but there are distinguishing things, like this potted plant on the cop's floor. There are no plants on the victim's floor. There was a red doormat in front of Jean's apartment, but no mat at the cop's apartment. After the shooting, Amber Geiger told police that she found Jean's door ajar. Attorney Merritt says the apartment doors have a sure slam system. They close automatically.
I went in there hoping to find some answers to get a better understanding about what happened. I didn't find anything that provided any clarity.
Rumors are rampant that Officer Geiger and Jean knew each other.
Do you have any sense that the two people knew each other?
Not in the sense that most people think, like a past relationship.
Amber Geiger, a four-year member of the police force, has been arrested on a manslaughter charge. She's now free on bond.
Again, Inside Edition with that. Seems suspicious. I mean, they lived a floor above, a floor below. Maybe they did have something going on. Maybe they didn't. Maybe she got pissed off at him. But basically, I mean, she walked in this dude's apartment and murdered him. I mean, the door didn't look like it would have been ajar. The doormat thing, I mean, you got to be really preoccupied to walk into an apartment that has a doormat when your apartment doesn't have a doormat. I don't know. Seems fishy. Seems fishy to a lot of people. I bring you the hard-hitting news. Stern Jesus Show, Chapter 2, Verse 7, Tale of O.J. Classic bit still to come. Also talk more about Mac Miller in the next segment. Whoops. That's not it. There we go. All of that coming up. SternJesus.net. Keep spreading the word about SternJesus.net. Go check it out, everyone. If you missed it, check out past episodes. All that stuff. Because maybe you've missed some stuff. Maybe you need to catch up. Catch up with what's going on. Or what has gone down. As the parlance may be. Anyway, stay tuned, hoes.
The Stoner Jesus Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Funeral services today for the Dallas man who was shot and
Hello,
killed
everyone.
In his
Stoner
own
Jesus
apartment
here
by an officer.
To tell you about another awesome Stoner Jesus Show sponsor, Cannabis Seeds USA. Check them out. Banner on StonerJesus.net. Let me ask you a question. Do you live in a state where it's legal to grow? There's lots of them. There's dozens now, medical and recreational states. Do you need seeds? Do you need seeds shipped in the U.S.? Well, check out Cannabis Seeds USA. Click their banner on StonerJesus.net. They got indoor and outdoor seeds. They have tons of strains. They have hybrid. They have sativa. They have indica. Everything you need. OG Kush, Sour Diesel, Grape Ape. They got single seeds. They got packs. Click that Cannabis Seeds USA banner on StonerJesus.net. If you live in a legal state and you need seeds shipped in the U.S., you need to check out Cannabis Seeds USA. Go click their banner on stonerjesus.net and check them out. Cannabis Seeds USA. The Stoner Jesus Show is brought to you in part by Hemptations.com and PlanetEverywhere.com. They got a lot of awesome stuff for you to check out. But don't just take my word for it. Let Beach, the owner of Hemptations, tell you all about it.
It's a very large selection of hemp goods, everything from reusable coffee filters to frisbees, bandanas, everything planted everywhere on the site is made in Cincinnati, Ohio, made locally. We also have other retail products from our cosmetics, earthly body product, bags on the retail site. You know, again, anybody local in Cincinnati can go to hemptations.com and get the info on the stores. Planted Everywhere is our .com is our retail site. You can hit me up on Hemptation Beach or like my Facebook page, Hemptations or Hemptations 2. I'm on Twitter, Google, I'm on the internet everywhere, just like everyone. You know, we love to hear from people all over the world, positive things about industrial hemp. That's what I do. That's what we do. Largest selection of industrial hemp on the planet in the stores. And I'd like to grow that inventory to be able to say that I haven't actually checked out all the other hemp retail spots to see if we have the largest amount on our planet everywhere. But it's a fair selection.
And as Beach always says,
having temptations.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
Introducing 420 Cloud, ignited by MSIG, one of the fastest growing social apps around. The only app you'll need for all things cannabis. Find the latest cannabis news, videos, and stories, ranging from business and tech to sports and medicine. Start your career in cannabis by seeking, identifying, and applying for jobs through our expansive listings. For businesses, 420cloud.com features a full-scale cross-channel network, monetizing high traffic for big data conversion and analytics. Download 420 Cloud now from the iTunes Store or Google Play. MSIG.com is a publicly listed company on the OTC, symbol MCIG.
Learning the benefits of proper nutrition, supplementation, and personal development to live a healthy and abundant life. Awaken, adjust, and aspire. High on Healthy. Mondays on demand, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The following CannabisRadio.com program contains explicit language and content that can be considered graphic and offensive. This program is not suitable for all audiences, and the opinions expressed do not reflect those of CannabisRadio.com, its staff, management, or sponsors. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah. Stoner Jesus Show, Chapter 2, Verse 7, Hour 2. Again, if you missed Hour 1, go check it out at stonerjesus.net. Last week we did a tribute to Mac Miller. You can go check that out on stonerjesus.net as well. We used to play Mac Miller a lot back in the day, and we played music here on the show. And apparently there was some more information provided by TMZ on the death of Mac Miller, and here it is.
We've learned some new information about the investigation into Mac Miller's death. And you know, of course, that the rapper was found dead in his home in the Valley last week. And now we know how long he was dead.
We thought when the person found him that he was in cardiac arrest and still alive. Right. That is just not true.
No, in fact, what we're told is that it was several hours before that, the call was made just before noon on September 7th. Mac was dead several hours before that call was made.
Yeah, you know, Charles, they spoke to people there, and the last person to see him alive was, I think, about 10:30 the night prior when they were partying at the house and hanging out. And when they got there, when paramedics got there, there were just signs that he had been deceased for, you know, multiple hours before he was discovered.
Now, what's interesting about that, Dennis?
What a shitty fucking way to go. Rich, famous, talented, young, you're just fucking laying there dead for hours. No one has any idea. Fucking drugs, man. Drugs. Smoke weed. Smoke more weed.
Is that there was a party the night before. This was an apparent drug OD. So when you start putting two and two together, you start asking the questions that we kind of asked with Demi Lovato. So what was going on at the party?
Who was there?
And what state did they leave him in when they left the party? You know, and when did he die? And those are all relevant questions the coroner is going to ask in this investigation, right?
They are, but there's no criminal culpability for this.
No, you know? But in terms of the coroner trying to figure this thing out.
I think they're going to figure out what, and I think it's going to basically come down to, you know, what he ingested and what killed this.
Yeah. You know what they should do now? They should go to some random person, some random fan, and see what they think.
Was he in the house? He wasn't in the house alone, right? There were other people.
No, there were people in the house.
There were people in the house.
Jump the gun on that. I stand by my comment.
Came over the next morning.
There were people who stayed overnight, right?
Well, we don't know whether they stayed.
Or did they leave at some point and come back?
Correct. We were told some people did stay at his home sometimes. Unclear if they were that night, but there were definitely people there before the night that he overdosed, and then people who showed up the next morning, too.
So they want to find out, was this a drug party? What were they doing? What were they taking? And again, what state was he in when they all left?
California. Sorry. Help it. Sorry. Sorry, everybody.
If they did all leave, I mean, they have a lot of questions to answer.
Now, we've been going to place my comment about having some random person comment on this. Let's bring in a random fan.
Hi, Monica from Chico. I think this is unfortunate, and I give my condolences to his family, and I really hope they can find out.
Monica from Chico weighing in.
Who was there, and maybe have some closure for his family to see what was going on before this happened. These celebrities get money and they have unlimited resources. It's so sad that he died. I feel really bad for him and his family.
Yeah. By the way, the police believe that the house was swept clean of drugs. They only found a tiny bit of white powder.
Which is another reason why it's going to be important to find out, was anybody actually in the house?
Right. There you go. More on Mac Miller. It is sad. It's incredibly sad. I'm telling you, kids, stick to the weed. Stick to the ganja. Coming up, from an old past episode of the Stoner Jesus Show. You can tell because there's a different, I have a different hat on and there's a different poster behind me. The Tale of OJ. If you don't know the Tale of OJ, you gather the children around the hearth or the iPhone or whatever you're listening to the show on, and you will hear me tell the tale of OJ coming up. Stoner Jesus Show, Chapter 2, Verse 7, Hour 2. Thanks, everybody. Peace, bitches.
The Stoner Jesus Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Hello, my children. Stoner Jesus here to tell you about another great sponsor of the Stoner Jesus Show, NextBardo.com. Check out that headshot banner on StonerJesus.net. They don't have just glass. They have a full line of smoking products, including wood pipes, metal pipes, roll your own supplies, pouches, storage, grinders, dab rigs, water pipes, vaporizers, and more. An amazing variety. Check out nextbardo.com. That's NextBardo.com. Or simply click their banner on stonerjesus.net to check them out. There's free shipping on all domestic orders over $20, and free shipping and a free gift with orders over $50. They offer worldwide shipping. Make sure you use discount code stonerjesus. That's all one word, stonerjesus. To get 10% off your first order at nextbardo.com. 21 and older, please. Click that headshot banner on stonerjesus.net. Make sure you use discount code stonerjesus. Stonerjesus, all one word, and get 10% off your first order at nextbardo. Check them out, another awesome sponsor of the Stoner Jesus Show.
From dabs to chivas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary, CannabisRadio.com.
Have you heard of GreenGonDetox.com? A team of pharmacists has collaborated for over 2 years to create a new solution for your cannabis detox needs. The only product designed by pharmacists to specifically support the elimination of cannabis metabolites found in urine. The product is called Green Gon, and our results have been absolutely incredible. All detox kits come with a money-back guarantee and free shipping. Get clean, get Green Gon. That's GreenGonDetox.com. Use the discount code TRYIT to get 20% off your entire order. That's TRYIT, all one word. Still not convinced? How about free overnight shipping when you spend $60 or more? That's GreenGonDetox.com for your marijuana detox needs.
Our mission is to discuss extraction, processing, business practices, and lessons learned with the established experts of the extraction process on Mission Supercritical, a service of Apex Supercritical, Mondays on demand, only on CannabisRadio.com.
At Alternative Vibes, our core values of quality, loyalty, respect, and honesty guides us in our mission to help families find peace and harmony through our products and services. Whether you are looking for a more natural way of living, shopping essential oils, topicals, and edibles, or searching for a path towards achieving your goals, we are your choice. Learn more about our complete line of natural products and solutions at AlternativeVibes.com. Bringing quality of living to life. AlternativeVibes.com.
The following CannabisRadio.com program contains explicit language and content that can be considered graphic and offensive. This program is not suitable for all audiences, and the opinions expressed do not reflect those of CannabisRadio.com, its staff, management, or sponsors. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, as promised, the tale of O.J. Before we talk about this O.J. confession, the so-called O.J. confession, and then his response to the so-called confession, I'll tell you my perspective on O.J. I'm 38 years old, so I was around 14 or 15 when all the O.J. shit went down. Now, before O.J. was accused of double murder, to backtrack all the way to the beginning, O.J. Simpson was one of the most well-liked people in the world, especially in the United States. He was a football star, a football hero, great guy. He was funny in the Naked Gun movies. He was the Hertz car rental guy where he would jump over stuff, trying to get to his flight or whatever. O.J. Simpson was the type of black guy that could walk into the middle of a Ku Klux Klan rally, and all the dumb racists would be like, "Holy shit, it's O.J. Simpson. I fucking love you, O.J. Can I have your autograph? Would you like my seat to enjoy the festivities? What can we do to make you more comfortable, O.J.?" Everybody fucking loved O.J. Simpson. In 1993, everybody loved O.J. Simpson. He was the most popular person ever. Everybody loved O.J. Simpson, as I've said many times. So he established that. So June of 1994... I remember watching, it was a headline news. Cable was still kind of a new thing. There was like 20 or 30 channels. I don't know how many. CNN headline news has a breaking news story that O.J. Simpson's ex-wife was murdered in Los Angeles. And I remember telling my dad, that's weird, you know, O.J.'s wife. So then, of course, a couple days later, O.J.'s accused of murder. He's in the Bronco. They break into the NBA playoff game. I believe it was the Knicks game I was watching. The slow chase, the slow O.J. chase in the white Bronco with Al Kaline's driving. And then the trial. The trial of O.J. The dream team. O.J. lines up Johnny Cochran, Robert Shapiro, F. Lee Bailey, Alan Dershowitz, tons of Kardashian dude, all those people. Greatest amalgamation of lawyers ever. And then the trial. The trial of O.J. Simpson was 9 months long. And when I tell you, those of you who remember, this was a little bit later, if you're a little bit younger, you may remember the news covers that 9/11 got. You have that, you know that picture in your mind. I have to explain that. The amount of news covers that the 9/11 attacks on New York and Washington, D.C. and the field in Pennsylvania, the news coverage those got, I would not be exaggerating to say that O.J. Simpson got the same level of news coverage. O.J. Simpson's trial got the same level of news coverage as 9/11. Now, again, cable was very new. There was no internet, really. I think AOL was in the early stages of their shit, and there was chat rooms and message boards and stuff. But not many people were on the internet. So it was newspapers, radio, broadcast television, and cable TV, which is about, like I said, 20 or 30 channels, whatever it was. It was CNN, ESPN, Shit like that, CNN headline news. The early days of cable channels, the relatively early. The coverage of O.J. Simpson's trial was wall to wall. All the broadcast networks preempted all their soap operas and daytime game shows and played the O.J. trial. Court TV got its start playing the O.J. trial. Fox News, CNN, I don't remember if MSNBC was around back then, they might have been, all played the entirety of the O.J. trial. Radio stations, you could get five or six, and I live in Cincinnati, Cincinnati area. You can get fucking five or six different radio stations playing the audio of the O.J. trial. Every newspaper, every magazine, every cable channel just about, especially if they covered news or sports. Every single media outlet covered the O.J. Simpson trial, start to finish, wall to wall, whatever you want to call it. 9 months of nothing but constant O.J. coverage. And in the end, of course, as everyone knows, he was found not guilty, despite the fact that there seemed to be a lot of evidence pointing to his guilt. A lot of blood at his house, the bloody glove at his house, DNA, you know, at the scene, his DNA or whatever, I'm not. And then, you know, it's just, I could go, you know, I could do an hour on, you know, the trial and what happened and all that shit. But what is also easy, something to remember, is at the time, the way everyone was, excuse me, was divided along racial lines. Like 95% of white people thought he was guilty and 95% of black people thought he didn't do it. And there was a lot of doubt. And then Mark Furman apparently liked to throw the word nigger around a lot on recordings. So that cast reasonable doubt. And in the end, the jury said OJ was not guilty. He was found guilty in a civil trial. And, you know, like, you know, as you know, years later, he was charged with armed robbery for stealing back memorabilia that someone had stole from him and did time in prison. And now he's out. Anyway, brings us to last Sunday. Fox plays this interview from O.J. That O.J. did back in 2006 with Judith Regan, who's a book publisher, Simon & Schuster. It was back in the day. She published Rush Limbaugh's book and Howard Stern's books. In any case, O.J. wrote a book back then called If I Did It, which I guess was a hypothetical way that if he did do this murder, that this is how it would have went down, which is weird in itself. It's fucking weird. If you didn't kill someone, to do a book on hypothetically how you would have done it or could have done it, that's just weird all the way around. So anyway, he's doing the hypothetical thing during this interview, and he's going into great detail. And at some point, you know, he stops reiterating that it's hypothetical, and he's just giving this like really deep detail on, you know, if he did this crime, this double murder, this is how it would have went down. And Fox played it last Sunday, so it's beginning, you know, it's went viral, obviously, because it's fucking OJ, and people still, you know, want to know about OJ. And it's just weird. It's very weird, and it's very creepy. So we're going to check out this video, and then we'll check out OJ's response to Fox running the interview.
This newly released O.J. Simpson interview was first taped in 2006 to promote his controversial book, If I Did It. The interview aired overnight, and we see Simpson discussing in some chilling detail how the murders might have gone down. ABC's Adrian Bankert is here with the story. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning to you too, George. It's the newest take in a story that continues to resurface, but the interview has people wondering, was this long-lost tape a real murder confession from O.J. Simpson?
I know the facts better than anyone.
The question still being asked nearly 25 years later. Did O.J. Simpson commit murder?
I don't think any two people could be murdered the way they were without everybody being covered in blood.
Simpson speaks about the 1994 murders of former wife Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman as if he were there.
Why don't you tell me what might have happened on the night of June 12th, 1994?
First of all, this is very difficult for me to do this. It was very difficult for me because it's hypothetical.
The 2006 interview, part of a two...
Yes, again, he reiterates many, many times that it's hypothetical. But why do it? Why write the book and then why do an interview to where you're talking about how you would have killed them if you killed them? Is it arrogance? Does he think that it's going to make people like him again? They're going to love OJ again? Because this is how he would have tried to chop off his ex-wife's head with a knife? It's all very weird. Very weird.
2 hour special on Fox titled O.J. Simpson, The Lost Confession. He speaks candidly about his book, If I Did It, a fictionalized hypothetical confession to the murders he was acquitted of in the now historic blockbuster trial.
Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder.
It's a fantastic idea. Fantastic. I'm acquitted of these murders, but let me write a fictionalized account of how I would have killed those motherfuckers if I had the chance and if I did it.
Some of his answers, chilling.
You put on a wool cap and gloves.
In hypothetical, I put on a cap and gloves.
Simpson says for the first time, he was accompanied by a friend named Charlie in his so-called hypothetical retelling.
I always kept a knife in that car for the crazies and stuff.
So, in his hypothetical, he's got someone with him. He's conjured a friend in the hypothetical. And he's got a knife because people are crazy. And as he says, you know, you can't carry guns.
You can't travel with a gun. And I remember Charlie saying, you ain't bringing that. And I didn't, right? But I believe.
Charlie was like, OJ, don't kill this bitch. And I was like, Charlie, shut the fuck up, man. I got some problems that I'm working out here. Go wait in the fucking Bronco.
He took it.
Charlie took the knife?
Yeah. In the book.
OJ.
In the book, Charlie, who does not exist. Hypothetical guy, Charlie, does not exist. He took the knife.
Calls exchanging words with Ron Goldman, who had shown up at his ex-wife's.
Hypothetically, I was like, Ron Goldman, you here to fuck my bitch? Step up, dog. Step up.
Home.
I just remember Nicole fell and hurt herself. And this guy kind of got into a karate thing.
So basically, here he stops saying, you know, it's hypothetical, it's hypothetical. He starts saying, you know, I did this and this happened and this happened. So really it's just an audio clip of him talking about the brutal double murder of his ex-wife and her friend, which is as creepy as it gets.
And I said, well, you think you can kick my ass? And I remember I grabbed a knife.
I'm OJ Simpson, motherfucker. You better step off. I will double murder the fuck out of you.
I do remember that portion, taking a knife from Charlie. And to be honest, after that, I don't remember. Except I'm standing there and there's all kind of stuff around. And
he's like, I don't remember. I lost the memory of it. Hypothetically. Allegedly. Of course.
And,
what kind of stuff?
Charlie. Charlie fucked up. Charlie's supposed to be there to help. Charlie didn't help shit.
Blood and stuff around. You know, I hate to say this, but this is hypothetical. I'm sorry. I know we got to back up again.
Right. You're right.
What the fuck is he laughing about? What is so goddamn funny? I guess maybe something Charlie said. I don't know. He's like, yeah, oh man, Charlie, we were coming home from this fucking murder. I was covered in blood. And Charlie told this fucking joke. I was like, oh, Charlie, nah, man. You're too much, Charlie. You're too much.
About removing a glove before taking the knife. From Charlie?
You know, I had no conscious memory of doing that, but...
Why isn't Charlie in prison? Where's Charlie?
Obviously, I must have because they found a glove there.
The interview didn't...
Yeah, they did. They found a glove at OJ's house. Bloody glove.
Originally aired due to public backlash.
In the book, you described taking off your shoes, your pants, and your shirt and dropping it in a bundle. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Social media erupting overnight. One viewer writes, yes, this is a confession to murder. Another tweeting, OJ has details and speaks in first person more often than not. His lawyer tells ABC News a lot.
He's got Charlie. He's got fucking Charlie.
A lot of people think OJ Simpson is still actively involved in this. He's not and wants nothing to do with this in 2018.
Now, the executive producer of the special says the families of the victims gave their blessing to show the interview. You might recall a judge ruled the rights of Simpson's book go to the family of Ron Goldman. But obviously still a ton of interest in this story.
That's hard to watch.
Yeah, it's not hard to watch. It's disconcerting. That's for sure. There's definitely no doubt about that. It's some weird shit. Now, as they talked about a little bit there at the end, OJ did respond to his quote-unquote confession. And to be fair, he kept saying, you know, it's hypothetical. But, again, you can also see how it comes across as really, really fucking creepy. Anyway, stories from TMZ Sports says, if I did it, was not a confession. Well, obviously, it would just, the name of the book would have just been, I did it. O.J. Simpson insists his If I Did It TV special was not a confession of murder, and says the people on the show were all a bunch of haters. I'm describing this fucking double murder and killing this bitch, and they all hating on me. Simpson gave his first sit-down interview since leaving prison to the Buffalo News and gave his own take on O.J. Simpson, the lost confession. When people want to make money or get ratings, they're going to pimp me. I'm going to get pimped. Simpson says his friends have been teasing him about the show and whether or not it was a real confession. Really? His friends? His friend Charlie? They've been teasing him? Teasing the juice? Hey, hey, did you really kill that bitch or what? Oh, I'm just joshing you, bro. Just joshing you. Listen, if I confessed 12 years ago, you would have heard about it 12 years ago. When asked if he watched the Fox special, Simpson replied, I watched nothing of me. I didn't watch the Fox special because I knew they were all haters and people will say that things are just not true and there's nobody there to challenge them and that would piss me off. Oh, you don't want to piss OJ off. He will fuck you up. That's right. Almost to the back. Almost decapitation. He says, so why watch it? It's a beautiful day. I'm going to have to go play golf. Why should I have some crap in my mind? You've got to let it go. It's so true. So true. When you double murder people and people still want to be hating on you years later about it, you just got to move on. Go play some golf.